A P-51 is down in Southern California. AOPA fights the proposed expansion of a military operations area in Maine. And EADS cuts back to one CEO. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, July 17, 2007. An early Sunday practice flight at Southern California's Camarillo Airport ended tragically for the new pilot of a P-51D Mustang. According to media and eyewitness reports, the pilot, identified as 42-year-old John McKittrick of Thousand Oaks, California, was practicing takeoff and landing transitions when he lost control about 8:15 a.m. Pacific time. Eyewitnesses tell ANN the accident occurred during McKittrick's first landing attempt when the aircraft began porpoising and ran off the runway. The FAA reports the plane crashed and came to rest inverted. The aircraft is identified as Lew 4 and had recently been seen in the air during a Camarillo fly-in. A P-51D Mustang nicknamed Lew 4 originally served with the U.S. 8th Air Force's 375th Fighter Squadron of the 361st Fighter Group in the U.K. Reports indicate that the pilot had been flying with an instructor just prior to the accident. According to Captain Mark Talion of the Ventura County Fire Department, the instructor notified the tower that the pilot, quote, was doing his first solo flight, unquote, in that aircraft. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association tells ANN it filed formal comments to the military and the Federal Aviation Administration recently, opposing changes proposed to the Condor Military Operations Area near Sugarloaf Mountain, Maine. Pete Lehman, AOPA government analyst, wrote the letter, quote, placing high-speed, low-altitude military aircraft into airspace that is regularly occupied by slower-moving, less-equipped general aviation aircraft increases the potential for mid-air collisions, unquote. According to AOPA, the military training airspace currently begins at 7,000 feet, but the proposal from the Massachusetts Air National Guard would lower the floor of that airspace to 500 feet. Air traffic controllers from Boston Air Route Traffic Control Center say radar coverage and communications with aircraft are intermittent to non-existent below 7,000 feet in that footprint of the Condor MOA due to radar limitations, and that increases the dangers. In its letter to the Air National Guard, AOPA requested that the military conduct an environmental impact study before implementing the proposed airspace changes. In addition, AOPA suggested that the military consider using the special use airspace already defined in the Northeast, especially the Adirondack special use airspace, and use it more effectively. A predicted change in the management structure at European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company has reportedly come to pass. Bloomberg reports that EADS has ended 7 years of dual management and named Louis Gallo, a 63-year-old French national, as EADS' sole chief executive officer. Tom Enders, the 48-year-old German who had been co-CEO with Gallo, becomes head of Airbus. The announcement was made by new French President Nicolas Sarkozy and German Chancellor Angela Merkel at a press conference Monday at Toulouse, France. The streamlining comes as EADS considers options for raising money for the redesign and development of the Airbus A350 XWB airliner, expected to cost the equivalent of nearly $16 billion U.S. The soonest the new plane can reach its first buyers is now estimated to be 2013, or 5 years after the scheduled rollout of its main competitor, the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. A pilot and two passengers were reported seriously injured when a Piper PA-28 Cherokee went down in a swamp during a landing attempt near the Gardner Municipal Airport in Massachusetts on Saturday. The FAA report indicates the plane struck trees before coming to rest. A witness said she saw a wing being torn from the plane before it came down. Lieutenant Richard Aris of the Gardner Fire Department said it was a difficult extrication process in mud a foot and a half deep and required cutting through heavy brush. Two women and a man were airlifted to UMass Memorial Medical Center in Worcester, according to the Boston Globe. Relatives said those on the plane were part of a family from Egypt visiting friends in Westminster. Up next on ANN, Fawcett and Delore claim another glider record. Boeing and Weyerhaeuser collaborate on the fight against wildfires. And AirTran will address the Midwest Board of Directors on Monday. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com. Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 17th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. It was quite a gamble, even by Nevada standards. Multiple world record-holding glider pilots Steve Fawcett and Terry Delore added to their long list of successes last week, flying a 777-mile triangular course Thursday over the Silver State in 8 hours, 23 minutes. That's a new world record average speed of 92.73 miles per hour, finally breaking one of the sport's oldest records. The official speed is pending certification by the International Aeronautic Federation. The last of the major glider records was set two decades ago by Hans Werner Gross of Germany, who dominated glider world records for many years and at age 85 continues to fly high-performance gliders. Gross's 777-mile record of 89.14 miles per hour was flown from Alice Springs in the Australian outback on January 10, 1987. Although Fawcett and Delore have set 11 of the 19 unlimited glider speed and distance records together, the 1,250-kilometer triangle was a special target and was particularly difficult to break because of the combination of speed and distance. Fawcett said he and Delore waited for the right conditions for 4 years in Argentina, Australia, South Africa, and the USA, and made a total of 27 attempts. Quote, "This record is especially satisfying for Terry and me," unquote. Fawcett will be inducted into the USA's National Aviation Hall of Fame this weekend, recognizing his world record achievements in gliders, balloons, airplanes, and airships. Delore and Fawcett plan to attempt more glider records together in November in Argentina. William Cleary, an advanced systems project manager for Boeing in Long Beach, California, says his new idea for dropping water on fires from aircraft came from a water balloon dropped on him from a deck by his own son. Cleary says his son was so accurate, it inspired him to design a system of dropping containers of water from planes. Boeing has been developing the technology for 3 years now with partner Weyerhaeuser, a company which has forests to protect and also expertise in developing cardboard containers. The system involves filling a cargo plane with cardboard boxes containing water. The boxes are supposed to break apart as they fall, dumping the water on the fire. If the idea proves successful, the list of aircraft types which could be used for water bombing will be greatly increased. Planes could also remain at higher altitudes, reducing the risks posed by heat and violent air currents over wildfires. The Puget Sound Business Journal reports that Boeing is interested because the system could expand the market for cargo planes, and Weyerhaeuser because that company manages more than 40 million acres of timberland worldwide. It's been a long fight, but on Monday, AirTran Holdings Corporation will finally get to present its buyout offer to the board of Midwest Airlines. The Midwest board has repeatedly told shareholders that Midwest can be more profitable alone. Many of those Midwest shareholders, though, have leaned toward taking the offer worth $389 million, and they voted June 14th to oust three board members in favor of candidates nominated by AirTran. AirTran Chairman and CEO Joe Leonard says AirTran will dispel rumors that it plans job cuts at Midwest's Milwaukee headquarters. He says he expects tensions could run high as he and other executives make their presentation and take questions over a three-hour period on Monday. AirTran has courted Midwest since 2005 when it offered only $78 million for the airline. The latest offer, valued at about $15 a share, expires on August 10th. More than half of Midwest shareholders have agreed to tender their shares at that price. Delta Airlines is thinking big in its attempt to find a way to serve profitable routes into London's Heathrow Airport. The new Open Skies Agreement between the U.S. and the EU technically opens competition into Heathrow, but service there is currently dominated by the Star Alliance, led by United, and Oneworld, led by American Airlines and British Airways. On June 28th, Delta asked the U.S. Department of Transportation to grant it immunity from antitrust laws to expand its SkyTeam alliance, which currently includes Air France, Alitalia, and Czech Airlines, to bring in additional partners Northwest and KLM. Approval would allow the six airlines to work closely together on marketing and to work together to set fares. The DOT has demonstrated a willingness to waive antitrust regulations for carriers on international routes, where the resulting increase in the number of seats often results in lower prices for consumers. If approved as proposed, Delta's plan claims to upgrade an additional 4,000 city pairs to two-stop status and would allow tickets bought under the Delta name to reach new destinations in Africa, India, and the Middle East. The collaboration could be seen as a sort of dry run for the merger that analysts have predicted between Delta and Northwest, but Delta officials have been quick to say that no such merger is anticipated. Still ahead, security officials close an airport when they discover an abandoned motorcycle. NASA says it has discovered water on another planet. And NASA awards a contract for rockets that will take us to Mars. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
When you can't be flying, you'd rather be, well, flying. Wings to Adventure Television is the next best thing. Hi, I'm Tom Gresham. Come join us as we fly old classics and new speedsters. We hit the best aviation museums and reveal fly-in hideaways. And it's all shot in breathtaking high-definition video. As host and producer, I get to pick what's on the show. So I always have fun, and I guarantee that you will too. It's on the Outdoor Channel. Airtimes and days are at wingstoadventure.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197. Or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, July 17, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. In Warsaw, Poland, the Okeechi Airport was evacuated and closed on Monday when police officers noticed an abandoned motorcycle in a terminal building. According to United Press International, airport officials are still jumpy over last month's attack at Glasgow Airport involving a fuel-laden SUV and felt the full evacuation was necessary until the threat status of the motorcycle could be ascertained. Airport spokesperson Artur Burak told reporters that all domestic and international flights had been delayed so authorities could conduct a security sweep. Officials could not immediately determine who left the bike untended in the terminal or why. One police official said the situation may have been due to simple negligence. An astronomer studying new observations from NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope says a scorching hot gas planet beyond our solar system is steaming with water vapor. The planet, called HD 189733b, orbits closely around its star about every 2 days or so. Astronomers had predicted that planets of this class, which are termed hot Jupiters, could contain water vapor in their atmospheres. Finding solid evidence, however, has been difficult. Giovanna Tinetti, a European Space Agency fellow at the Institut d'Astrophysique de Paris in France, was lead author on a paper about the new planet. Quote, "We're thrilled to have identified clear signs of water on a planet that is trillions of miles away," unquote. Although water is an essential ingredient to life as we know it, wet-hot Jupiters are not likely to harbor any creatures. Previous measurements from Spitzer indicate that HD 189733b has an average surface temperature of 1,340 degrees Fahrenheit. Not exactly your Class M. Ultimately, astronomers hope to use instruments like those on Spitzer to find water on rocky, cooler, habitable planets like Earth. HD 189733b is located 63 light-years away in the constellation Vulpecula. NASA told ANN on Monday it has signed a $1.2 billion contract with Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne Incorporated for the design, development, testing, and evaluation of the J2X engine that will power the upper stages of the Ares 1 and Ares 5 launch vehicles. The contract includes ground and flight test engines. It continues work that began over a year ago under a preliminary letter contract with Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne. NASA awarded the cost-plus award fee contract on a sole-source basis after deciding that no other existing capability can be extended to future exploration missions to the moon and beyond. The contract performance period extends through the end of 2012. Engines for operational missions will be purchased through a separate contract. Ares 1 is an inline, two-stage rocket that will transport the Orion crew exploration vehicle to low Earth orbit. Orion will accommodate as many as 6 astronauts. Ares 5 is a heavy lift vehicle and will enable NASA to launch a variety of science and exploration payloads, as well as key components needed to go to the moon and later to Mars. Finally, it is with sadness that ANN has learned former naval aviator Cook Cleland died Friday after a brief illness at age 90. Cleland was born in Cleveland, Ohio in December of 1916. He joined the Navy in 1940, taking his flight training at Lambert Field in Missouri and qualifying as a dive bomber pilot in Pensacola, Florida. During World War II, Cleland was assigned to the USS Lexington, flying a Douglas SBD Dauntless. After the war, Cleland came home and bought an airport, the former Euclid Avenue Airport in Willoughby, Ohio. He rechristened it Cook Cleland's Euclid Avenue Airport and opened the FBO, offering flight lessons, air charter, and banner towing. He achieved his dream of winning the Thompson Trophy in the Cleveland National Air Races twice, in 1947 and 1949, in a Goodyear F2G1 Super Corsair, according to the Pensacola News Journal. According to the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America, the 1947 race was a record-setting victory for Cleland at 396 miles per hour for 20 laps of the 15-mile race course. In the 1949 race, Cleland dominated, winning at 397 miles per hour, which remained the record for the class until the late 1960s. Cleland was recalled into active duty for the Korean War around 1950. His airfield closed and was off the maps by 1952. He retired in 1967 while stationed in Kodiak, Alaska, and returned to Pensacola and opened an antique store with his wife, Ora Lee. Cleland was inducted into the Motorsports Hall of Fame in 2000. You can find out more details on his life in the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll start our audio road trip to Oshkosh with EAA spokesman Dick Nepinski. He'll offer a general report on how things are shaping up for AirVenture and tell us what you're most likely to forget when you come. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.